Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. If you want to call and ask questions or just give your two cents, you can call in now at 323-870-3857. Hit option one if you want to talk to us. And we'll be here tonight till about 9:30 or so. Tonight, we're going to talk about the fall of the PBC. Spike TV cancels the PBC on their network. Is ESPN next to cancel it? Will they be on TV much longer? I don't know, man. Spike's a big one. Spike is a big one. Triple G is going to focus on Canelo Alvarez instead of Billy Joe Saunders. How about that? So instead of unifying the titles, I don't know. We'll see. And Robert, this was a shock to me. And I know it'll be a shock to you, as it'll be a shock to all the listeners out there. Adrian Broner finds himself in the train wreck of the week this week. That never happens.
That's why we call it the Adrian Broner train wreck of the week.
But first, we get started with Ricky Burns versus Julius Ndongo for the WBA IBF Junior Welterweight Championship. Julius Ndongo completely dismantled Ricky Burns on his way to becoming the unified super lightweight champion of the world. The fight took place in Glasgow, Scotland, the hometown, right in his home, went to his crib and did him right there. The fight was one-sided, man, honestly, from beginning to end. Burns, let me tell you what, Burns showed a ton of heart in there. He was in front of his hometown. He tried his best. Ndongo was just too much for him. The power, the length of Ndongo really made the difference in this fight. Burns had trouble reaching Ndongo, and when he did come in, he was just being tagged with power shots. Final scores of this bout were 120-108, 118-110, 116-112, all for Julius Ndongo. I don't know for the life of me what fight the judge who gave him 116-112. Where did you find four rounds to give Ndongo? Joe, you scored the fight a shutout, as did I. Could you find four rounds to give Burns?
I was trying hard to find a round I could give him, but I just couldn't do it. I just have my integrity, man. I couldn't do it. I would be embarrassed if giving him a round. And you know what? I was pulling for Ricky Burns. You know, I like Ricky Burns. Ricky Burns,
I do too.
He's just a great, great guy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not like that guy. And obviously, being analysts or, you know, following the sport, we should be unbiased. And obviously, I am unbiased because I scored the fight a shutout. But, you know, I was, you know, secretly, I wanted him to win the fight because, again, he's been in the game so long, hasn't made a ton of money, never really had that big money fight. And it would have been nice to see him get a victory. He's at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of turning the corner, so to speak. And I don't think there's too many fights left or too many big fights left for him. But, he just had a hard time dealing with the range, dealing with the height, the gangliness of Ndongo. Ndongo is just a machine in there. He's just a guy. He's a swarmer, but he's a controlled swarmer. He's definitely a good combination puncher. He's got balance. He doesn't just, you know, swing for the fences. He puts the shots together, sets the shots up very nice. And he's got an outstanding right jab. You know, he really had an easy time controlling this fight virtually with his jab, because everything just flowed off that jab, and Ricky Burns could not get close to him at all. And, you know, for every punch that Ricky Burns tried to throw, Ndongo came back with three or four, sometimes even five. So this was just a Ricky Burns who was outgunned, completely outgunned.
I agree with that. Let me ask you a question, and you know, is this is, I mean, would you say this was the end of the road for Ricky Burns?
I can't see a junior welterweight out there or a top junior welterweight out there that he could probably beat. I just don't see it. So yes, I would have to say that it is the end of the road for him. But again, you know, he's probably going to keep fighting because he has not made a ton of money in the sport. Just never had those big fights, those big money fights. Even though he's been a champion multiple times, he's just never had those big money fights.
Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine, you know, multiple weight champion Ricky Burns? If there was ever an overachiever in boxing, definitely Ricky Burns is it. You know, you put him in there with Arturo Gatti, another guy who was a multiple weight champion. Guys who just got by on I'm not saying that he doesn't have any skill. Don't get me wrong. I think he's more skilled than Arturo Gatti. But when you look at top-level fighters, when you look at the Terrence Crawfords and even the Tim Bradleys that were in that weight class, Devin Alexander, another guy who was in that weight class, I don't think that Ricky Burns just has the natural talent that those guys had, the athletic ability that those guys had. And for him to get so far with so little, and I say that with all due respect, because the one great thing he had was his heart and his conditioning. And, you know, he just was not a superior talent in there. But he got a lot done with little, as I said. And that's just a testament to just how strong-willed this fighter is in Ricky Burns. I really admire the guy. I really do.
Yeah, very much, man.
I hate to keep bringing this guy up, but how far did Pauly get with what he had to offer? Wouldn't you put Ricky Burns in the same kind of category?
Well, Pauly had some skills. He just didn't have the punch, and he had some hand problems too. But yeah. It's a fair comparison, Robbie. It's a fair comparison. Yeah.
Do you think so? I mean, because I thought Pauly's a very skilled fighter, man.
Yeah, he's
I mean, Pauly
is
very,
fighter, but,
very skilled, no. Very schooled, very fast hands. Just didn't have a punch.
Yeah.
And that's due to hand
and,
issues.
Yeah, and
you
he
know?
Kept and he, yeah. and he kept breaking his hands all the time too, which didn't help. You know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I think, I mean,
Pauly
personally,
was more skilled, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think this is probably pretty much, to me anyway, I don't want to see Burns out there again. I think he's had a good career. He's done a lot with what he has. And like you said, you say that with all due respect, you know. But, you know, any version of Ricky Burns would have lost to Ndongo. I mean, it's just the way it
probably
is.
Probably so, yeah. This is just a horrible style matchup.
Yeah, I mean, this is bad. Yeah, Ndongo is a handful for anybody.
Well, you know, Eric, this is two fights in a row where Julius Ndongo came out of nowhere and wasn't supposed to win either one. You know, how far can this guy go now that he's accomplished two major upsets in a row?
He's TBE. He's TBE right now, you know. And, you know, I mean, he beat the man who beat the man. He beat the man who beat Cesar Cuenca. He beat Troyanovsky. Edward Troyanovsky beat Cesar Cuenca. Hey, he's TBE now. So until somebody takes it away from him, he's the guy. So there you go. So let's talk about this now, because the interested party here now with the WBA and IBF is now Terrence Crawford, who has just called out, was calling out the winner of the Burns and Ndongo fight. How does Burns match up, or how does Ndongo rather match up against Crawford?
Like I was telling you earlier when we were talking about this fight, Ndongo is definitely a tall, rangy guy, and he's a volume guy, and he's a swarmer. But that's the type of fighter that Crawford loves. He loves guys that are going to come at him. And if he's going to try to throw a lot of punches against Terrence Crawford, who is a master counterpuncher. I mean, obviously, we've seen him take it to guys, too. But if you look at that Victor Postol fight, another tall, rangy guy who tried to, get off with the jab and tried to keep the fight at a distance. But, you saw when Crawford was able to do, he sucked him in to some counters, and he actually hurt him a few times, knocked him down. So, you know, if Ndongo, the way he fights, just seems to me like he's puts his foot on the gas pedal and it's all systems go. He's going to take it to anyone. And he does work behind the jab. and he is a southpaw. But then again, Terrence Crawford can switch southpaw too. He's very ambidextrous. He's very effective in the southpaw stance. So I just think that as good as Ndongo looked against Ricky Burns, I think that Terrence Crawford's a whole different animal. And, you know, Terrence Crawford has the ability to hurt a guy with either hand. And I think one punch could make Ndongo not be so, you know, volume puncher orientated in a fight against Terrence Crawford. I think definitely his punch output would definitely taper off if he gets tagged with a few hard counters. He's going to think twice before coming in against Terrence Crawford. So yeah. I think as good as Ndongo is, he could arguably be the second best junior welterweight in the world behind Crawford, but it's a long way down from number one to number two, in my opinion. And again, say that with all due respect, but I just think Crawford is just a very, very dangerous top-level guy.
Well, not to mention Crawford's fought a lot of top-level opposition too. So, and a lot better than, you know, his resume is a lot better than Ndongo's, put it that way. But, you know, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, you watch how he handled Postal, Crawford I'm speaking of. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully that fight comes off, man, because I tell you what, that'd be a fight I'd love to see for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the best fight that could be made right now, junior welterweight.
Oh, 100%. 100%. All right, so let's move ahead here. Sullivan Barrera versus Paul Parker. And, yeah, Joe, I'm going to hand this off to you here. I expected Paul Parker to put up a much better fight than this. I really did. And there was a big size difference and everything like that, and Barrera just took him to school. What did you think of this fight?
Well, you know, if you could stay away from Sullivan Barrera's power, like Andre Ward did, you know, then obviously you can have some success. But that's a big if. Because when this guy lays hands on anyone, you know, he moves them. You could see him. And Shabransky found that out, too. It was a guy who was supposed to beat Sullivan Barrera. It was a guy that a lot of people are high on, that's supposed to be a really skilled fighter with a punch. And, you know, Sullivan Barrera, you know, he decided that, you know, Shabransky decided he was going to, you know, get, you know, in some exchanges with Sullivan Barrera because he thought that he would get off first. He'd be able to, you know, outspeed him. But Sullivan Barrera, you know, he's a tough guy. He was able to take those shots and come back with his own. And the big difference is once he lands something big, particularly that right hand, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. So, yeah, he's a dangerous, dangerous fighter. And I believe in this guy's power. And he could arguably be the hottest puncher, you know, right there with Sergey Kovalev. He's right there with Sergey Kovalev because this is a guy, Barrera, that's putting guys out with one shot. Like, he'll land that right hand, and he just short-circuits guys. Kovalev's a guy who kind of puts them together. He's a heavy-handed guy, but he's more of a kind of a guy that has to put shots together. He's somewhat of a clubber, too. But Sullivan Barrera, he just got like a hammer with that right hand, man. And
yeah.
You could just see it. You could see when he landed that shot that he just like sends people into orbit, man. They like their feet lift off the canvas and they go flying backward. This guy's a dangerous puncher.
How it's like, you know, you watch Sullivan Barrera and how good he is, and you watch what Andre Ward did to him. And
yeah.
It's just like, wow. I mean, it just made him look completely average.
And then,
you know?
And that's what makes me laugh. People say, oh, Andre Ward, when he came back, fought nobody. Well, Sullivan Barrera,
right,
I believe, was the IBF number one contender at light heavyweight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was that? Andre Ward's, like, I think it was his third comeback fight, right? Or actually, was it second? His second.
Second. I think
fight,
it was
right?
His second fight. Yeah, second
his
comeback.
Second comeback fight. And he took on the number one contender at light heavyweight. So.
Right. And people were saying this is a light touch. And I mean, I'll tell you what. And I knew Sullivan Barrera was no light touch. And I was really anxious to see how that fight played out. And that was a one-sided fight, man. I mean,
I'm going to say something crazy. And obviously, it's arguable. But behind Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev, and who's the other hard-hitting Eastern European light heavyweight?
What is that guy's name?
Arthur Beterbiev. Beterbiev.
Yeah,
Beterbiev. Yeah, I mean, who would you pick, you know, in a fight, Beterbiev versus Barrera? So I think arguably Sullivan Barrera could be the third or fourth best light heavyweight in the world. That's crazy.
Actually,
that makes
too
up.
Bad. It's too bad we can't match those two up together. That would be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, that'd be a really good fight, man. Yeah, I wouldn't like to see that one, man.
Yeah.
So where does Barrera go from here? I mean, I think everybody's on hold until the Ward Kovalev 2 gets over. I mean, but realistically, does he get a shot? I mean, he's not going to get a shot at Ward again, do you think?
He's calling out Joe Smith.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, I'm not hating that at all.
Yeah, that's a good fight, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see Barrera take out Stevenson, but I don't know if he'll get a shot at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could beat Stevenson. Believe it or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he beat.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Corey's in the chat. Yeah, Corey's in the chat asking what happened yesterday.
Yesterday was Easter,
so we just didn't have a show. Yeah, it was Easter, so we didn't have a show, so we late. So we had one today.
Yeah, we didn't want to have a show and just have, like, you listening, Corey.
Right.
No offense. Maybe I like you and all, but...
He was looking forward to the show. There you go. Dmitry Bivol versus Samuel Clarkson for the WBA Interim Light Heavyweight Championship. Where does, you know, Dmitry Bivol demolish Clarkson in four rounds? Robbie, did you catch this fight?
Yeah, I did, and I was very disappointed because I've seen Samuel Clarkson twice on Showbox, and both times he scored devastating knockouts. I thought that this would be a hell of a competitive fight, and it was nothing but. I mean, he got totally destroyed, and they should have stopped it sooner than what they did. It wasn't even close.
Yeah,
this was a demolition.
How does Dmitry, how does Bivol stack up against the other light heavyweights? And you know, you talk about Joe Smith, you talk about Sullivan Barrera. Let's not even stack him up against, you know, Ward or Kovalev yet. What about the undercards here? Like I said, Barrera about Joe Smith.
The problem with a guy like this is he doesn't have many professional fights, and all of his opponents, he's made them look rather easy. I would like to see him step up the level of his competition to see how real he is, because right now it's kind of hard to say how good he actually is because he disposes people way too easily. So I think we need to step him up in competition and see what he can do.
Yeah, all I know right now about him is he's a very hard right-hand puncher. But I don't see too much else, and I hate to, you know, downgrade the guy because, you know, he's still coming up in the game. But a couple things I don't like about him: seems a little bit too straight up and stiff. Keeps his hands like out like this in front of his face, but he keeps them like both in the center. Keeps both of his hands like in the center of his face. It seems like he could like be caught with like looping shots. And I noticed he was moving his right hand up and down like this a lot, you know, and that's a invitation for a right hand counter, you know. He's constantly moving his hand up and down like that. Someone could slap the hand down and come over the top with the right hand. So I don't know, but definitely a hard, hard right hand puncher without question. But
I mean, to me it's sort of like he's being protected somewhat because they know what his weaknesses are, but he's making it look so easy. You've got to step up the level of competition. But I agree with everything that Joe said, because there are some weaknesses there that can be taken advantage of.
Yeah. I just don't like how he positions his hands. I don't like how he's constantly moving that left hand up and down like that. It's like wasted motion. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I don't know. That's just me.
All right, so let's move ahead here. And that was pretty much the action for the weekend, honestly. There wasn't a whole lot going on. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. So, let's see, give me one second. All right, on April 20th, I believe that's Thursday, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that correct, Robert?
Yep.
All right, from Verona, New York on ESPN2, Michael Perez versus Marcelino Lopez, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And Rashidi Ellis versus John Carl Sosa, 10 rounds welterweights. On Unimas, Robert's favorite station, from Kissimmee, Florida, Christopher Diaz versus Sergio Lopez, 8 rounds featherweights. And John Carlos Rivera versus Jesus Pacheco, 8 rounds featherweights. And then from Miami, Oklahoma, and I don't know if this is going to be televised or not, Bilal Dib versus Yuandale Evans, 10 rounds junior lightweights. And then Charles Conwell Jr. versus the dreaded TBA. That's 4 rounds, and Conwell is Olympian, as you guys know. April 22nd on Showtime, Saturday, the big one, the one we couldn't live without, Sean Porter versus Andre Berto, 12 rounds, WBC welterweight eliminator. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Jermell Charlo versus Charles Hatley, 12 rounds for the WBC junior middleweight title. Louis Ortiz versus Derek Rossi, 10 rounds heavyweights. Amanda Serrano versus the dreaded TBA for the WBO women's bantamweight title. And then let's see here. From Carson, California. The top-ranked pay-per-view card. I said it. Pay-per-view. You're going to have to pay to watch this card. Listen to this dynamic rundown. Oscar Valdez versus Miguel Mariaga. 12 rounds for Valdez's WBO featherweight title. Gilberto Ramirez versus Max Bursack. 12 rounds for Ramirez's WBO super middleweight title. Jesse Magdaleno versus Adelson Dos Santos. 12 rounds for Magdaleno's WBO junior featherweight title. All that. And Shakur Stevenson will make his debut. And let's see, from Liverpool, England, it may be on Box Nation or maybe Sky Sports, one of those, or you can stream it. On Saturday, Martin Murray versus Gabe Rosado, 12 rounds middleweights. Hey, I don't hate that fight at all.
I don't hate that fight.
Matchup. Rocky Fielding versus John Ryder. Yeah, right? I mean, that's an action-packed fight. 12 rounds for the vacant super middleweight title, the British super middleweight title. And those are like all the names I recognize from that card. Arthur Abraham, yeah, he's still fighting, versus Robin Krasniqi, 12 rounds for the WBO super middleweight title eliminator. Wow.
How many times is he going to fight for the WBO super middleweight title?
I don't know, man. Those two have fought before, right?
Was he under contract by the WBO that he has to fight for that title every 6 months?
He must be.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
From Madrid, Spain, Dmitry Chudinov. Again, this is one you can stream. Dmitry Chudinov versus Mariano Hilario. 12 rounds for the European super middleweight title. I'm pretty sure you could probably buy that on eBay, too. And that's it. That's it for this weekend. So let's talk about these two cards here. We'll talk about one that's fair and one that's lukewarm here. So let's start with the one that's fair. Saturday on Showtime. Sean Porter versus Andre Berto. Listen, I think this will be an entertaining fight. I think that, Andre Berto is going to come after him. Sean Porter for sure is going to come after him. This is my problem with this fight. This is my big problem with this fight. Is Sean Porter asked for this fight? This wasn't just something that the promoter said, hey, let's do this or let's put this together. Sean Porter came out and actively pursued this fight. Why? Why?
I'm going to defend Sean Porter here.
Please do.
I know you're not going to like
it. Hey, Sean Porter's from Ohio. Sean Porter, and I can't defend this.
I'm going to defend Sean Porter here because Sean Porter had to get a fight, okay? And Keith Thurman's not going to give him a rematch right away. Kell Brook's tied up with Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao's tied up with, what's his name, Horn there, right? So where does he go? There's nowhere to go. And Andre Berto, you could say what you want about him, but he's always comes to fight, always tries to make for an exciting fight, and he still has a name in the welterweight division. So you beat Andre Berto. It's still a name on your resume. Danny Garcia fought Robert Guerrero, I think, for the WBC vacant welterweight title. Is Robert Guerrero a better fighter than Andre Berto at this stage? I think it's they're quite similar. They're very comparable. I would even think that, in my opinion, Andre Berto would beat Robert Guerrero in a fight right now.
Really?
So, I think so.
Yeah, Guerrero is a mess.
Well, so is Berto. So, it's not like Berto's any better.
No.
Yeah, he can still punch. He can still punch. And again, his style is going to mesh very well with Sean Porter's style, as you alluded to earlier. So I don't think it's a bad fight. And I understand what you're saying. How many chances is Andre Berto going to get? And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, you look at this welterweight division, you could still say that Andre Berto is arguably still a top 10 welterweight, no?
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know.
So that's the thing. I think Sean Porter's always had this dilemma of trying to get big fights. I'm not saying he's never had big fights, but they'll have a big fight. And then after a big fight, you know, the well runs dry a little bit for a couple, you know, fights there on after. And he has to take fights like this while he's waiting for that other big fight to come, you know, come to fruition and dropped on his lap. This is the problem that he's had. Like, you take a guy like Danny Garcia. Like, Danny Garcia is always having those fights, you know. And again, I'm not hating on Danny Garcia. I'm just saying, certain fighters, they're just very marketable. And Sean Porter's still a little bit marketable, but he's not as marketable as a Danny Garcia. Maybe not as marketable as a Keith Thurman at this stage. And, you know, because Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia still, you know, they do very well at the Barclays. They can sell the Barclays out whenever they go there. Keith Thurman does pretty well on the West Coast. You know, Sean Porter's still trying to establish his name in the sport. And I think at some point he will. But he has to take a fight like this just to stay relevant, man. That's just how I see it. Or just to stay active, too.
But to go out and call this guy, like, this is the fight that everybody has to see. This is the one. You know, and
I don't think it's being promoted as that, though, Eric. I think the way that they're promoting this fight is this fight's going to be an entertaining, action-packed fight.
Yeah.
Tune in.
What?
They're not saying, hey, these are the two best welterweights in the world.
That's true.
And
being promoted, so that's the way you have. That's the way I'm looking at it. And that's the way I think most people should look at it.
Okay, and here's another problem I have with this fight. They're making this a WBA title eliminator? Really? What has Andre Berto done to deserve a WBA title eliminator? I mean, I can see that Sean Porter would be put in a fight like that because he just fought Keith Thurman. But you make this a WBA title eliminator, and I agree with Joe. Sean had to have a fight because he hasn't fought since June 25th. He had to get in the ring with somebody. But I don't know if, you know, I don't hate the fight, but I really think that they could have picked somebody else. Like I know it's not realistic, but I would have loved to have seen Sean Porter fight Tim Bradley, for example. You know, I think that would have been a better fight. I would have loved to have seen Sean Porter fight a Danny Garcia. You know, again, I know Danny Garcia just fought, but I think that they could have found a better opponent than Andre Berto for Sean Porter. I think Sean Porter is going to dispose of Andre Berto. I'd be very surprised if it goes the distance.
Who would you guys have rather seen Sean Porter in there with? Who would have actually accepted a fight with Sean Porter? I'm talking about dream matchups now. I'm talking about realistic matchups that could have been made and we would have been able to see.
That I don't know right offhand.
I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
Comes to mind, but
Lamont Peterson.
He's not going to fight him now. There's no need to fight him. He doesn't have to fight him now. Why take a tough fight?
What about Saddam Ali? What about? Fight. That's a reasonable fight.
Saddam Ali.
What about Jesse Vargas? What about, you know, just somebody with a pulse would have been great.
Can I ask you guys a question? Could Andre Berto beat Saddam Ali right now? Is that realistic?
No. I think Ali would beat Berto.
I think Ali killed Berto.
So there's no shot. There's no shot Berto can
nope.
beat him?
Nope.
Couldn't land
nope. I don't think Berto beats – Berto doesn't beat a top 10 guy right now.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no.
Well, Eric, I think Berto beats Jesse Vargas.
I think – no way.
I think Berto – no, with Berto's punching power, I think he could win a lot of fights.
He was having trouble with Ortiz. He was getting beat by Ortiz before he landed that shot. No.
That's what I'm saying. you just proved my point, Eric.
He was getting beat. He landed the shot. It was a good punch, and I'm not going to say it was a lucky shot, but like Ortiz was washed up too.
Well, don't worry. For those that want to see Victor Ortiz, they're working on a Victor Ortiz Brandon Rios fight.
What about Avanesyan? What about Porter and Avanesyan?
Again,
David Avanesyan.
I think
I'll go along with you on this. You're right. It is a bigger name for sure, because Berto does have a bigger name, and you know. And
now, Robbie just said that he thinks Berto would be Jesse Vargas, but Jesse Vargas knocked out Saddam Ali. You know,
I know.
Berto's style can be problematic for a lot of fighters. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I know Guerrero did beat him before, but I don't think this version of Robert Guerrero would beat this version of Andre Berto. That's just my opinion.
And somebody in the chat just said Avanesyan just lost to Peterson. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah,
doesn't
that's
mean
true.
He can't fight. Yeah, it doesn't mean he can't fight Porter. So, you know. I think Avanesyan beats Berto. Put it that way.
Someone in the chat just said Jesse Vargas kills Berto. With all due respect, I disagree.
No, I think
Berto wins that fight. I think Berto wins that fight. I don't like Jesse Vargas.
I'm going to sit there and say I would put the house on Berto. But if Berto was like a 4-1 underdog, I wouldn't mind laying some cash on him.
I don't know, man.
I think he's got a shot. I think he's got a shot against Vargas. And I like Vargas, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I think, you know what, I do agree with you on one thing. I think it'll be an entertaining fight while it lasts.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't hate the fight. I would have liked to see a Keith Thurman-Sean Porter rematch. Don't get me wrong. I'd love
right.
it. I really enjoyed that fight. But
yeah, I think this is a fun fight, put it that way. I think it's
a fun fight.
Yeah, it's a fun fight, for sure. But right. I think my problem was with Sean Porter to begin with. My problem was always with Sean Porter in this fight, calling out Andre Berto, saying this is the fight the fans need to see, this is the fans want to see, and blah, blah, blah. Dude, shut up. You know, not the fight everybody wants.
Oh, he was saying that?
That's what he was saying. Yeah, he was trying to bait
him.
Yeah. Trying to bait
the fight. Shut up about the fight, though. We can't hate on him.
Yeah, I guess, man. But this was before the fight was signed, so, you know.
All right,
so let's talk about Jermell Charlo versus Charles Hadley, 12 rounds for Charlo's WBC junior middleweight title. This one, I tell you what, man, Charles Hadley, I can't go with him on this one. Charlo's gonna kill this guy. I think that Charles Hadley, man, is suing Don King. And not that there's anything wrong with suing Don King, but you don't sue your promoter. You got you the and I don't know. Like I said, man, he's suing him. Don King put out this press release, so who knows? Who knows what the actual thing is? I know all I know is he's getting sued. You know, and even though nobody's really big on Don King, but he did get the guy a title shot. Nobody had ever heard of Charles Hadley prior to this, and he got him a title shot. You know,
that is true. Eric.
And not only that, you don't sue somebody right in the middle of your camp. If you want to sue him, wait till the end. You can't wait till everything's all said and done and then sue the guy. But you don't cause a big distraction like this right in the middle of camp. And listen, man, if you're suing somebody, that's what I would call a distraction. So before the biggest fight of your life, man, not really good.
I'll tell you what, I hope these two can fight as well as they talk. Boy, I think Charlo is going to roll right through Mr. Hadley. Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree.
Yeah, I think so. So, and then Louis Ortiz versus Derek Rossi, 10 rounds heavyweights. I've heard conflicting reports. I can't find anything. I heard that Louis Ortiz may have been pulled off of the card or maybe not going in the card. but that may not be the case. He's still listed on the schedule. He's still, you know, to my knowledge, still on the card. So 10 rounds, heavyweights. Louis Ortiz has, you know, everybody's high on this guy. Everybody's really, really high on this guy. I'm not, and I don't know what it is.
I'm not either.
I just think he's slow. I think he's plodding. I think he's a good boxer. But I think he's very beatable. I think he's very beatable.
Eric, I think
he can be outworked by a quicker guy.
Definitely.
I think he can be outworked by a quicker guy. Because he fights at a very slow pace. And as you said, I don't think he's – I think he's heavy-handed. But he's got that George Foreman-type power, that clubbing-type power, where I don't think he's an explosive, particularly fast guy, like you said. And he's dangerous, but I don't know. I just don't see anything exceptional about him. Like Anthony Joshua is just explosive. He's a guy that just like throws punches like bombs. Like they're like you can't even see them coming. Like and he just puts them together. This Ortiz guy is just really slow, methodical. Fights at a really really It's not a quick pace at all.
You know what? I am getting confirmation. He is off that card. He is on.
Okay.
Just looked it up. He is off. So yeah, somebody in the chat had mentioned, and we just looked it up. He is definitely off of that card. So
okay.
Yeah, there you
well,
go.
All right.
He's not on the card anyway. So, and then Amanda Serrano will box somebody for the WBO women's bantamweight title. So there you go.
The only notable thing about that, and I guess it should be mentioned here since we're covering women's boxing now, she will become the only Puerto Rican boxer. You laugh if you want to, but this is serious. I'm surprised you don't know about this. She'll become the only Puerto Rican boxer from Puerto Rico who has won a title in 5 different weight classes. And I don't know the person she's fighting, but that is a historical thing that we got to pay attention to.
All right. Well, first off, I wasn't laughing at you know your fact there. I was
right.
Laughing at your comment. You said we're now covering women's boxing now. We've always covered
well,
women's boxing.
We got to pay attention to it, Eric. I may not like how it's currently conducted.
He's got a 360, Eric.
He has.
A 360.
You know. I may not like how it's conducted, but we do have to cover it, like it or not.
Couldn't deal with it.
They were leaving.
You were going to supermarkets and women were giving you dirty looks. You couldn't deal with it.
They were filling up his box. They were filling his number. They were calling his number.
No.
Groceries because of what you said. Admit it.
No, guys. I have not gotten one piece of bad mail in regards to my comments. So, there.
All right. So, now, that was the fair card. Let's go to the lukewarm card, which is this pay-per-view card. Top Rank is putting on this pay-per-view. Oscar Valdez versus Miguel Mariaga. 12 rounds for Valdez's WBO featherweight title. That will be the headliner. Listen, man, these aren't bad fights. And, you know, these are actually pretty good fights. You know, Gilberto Ramirez versus Max Bursack, Jesse Magdaleno versus Adelson Dos Santos. These are not pay-per-view fights. In no way, shape, or form are these pay-per-view fights. I don't even know if I'd watch this on regular TV, let alone pay-per-view. All right. I mean, these are good. I mean, you know, like I said, if it was on, this is an HBO card, and this is like an HBO After Dark card. This isn't like a pay-per-view spot. And I understand Bob Arum said he needed to get these guys on TV, blah blah blah. This is not the way to do it. You couldn't get ESPN. You couldn't get somebody. You couldn't get somebody. You had to put this on pay-per-view.
That's why he did it.
Huh?
I don't think Bob wanted to do this. I just think he had to do it if he wanted to get these guys.
I don't think he had any choice, Eric.
You don't think he had any choice?
No.
Heard him say
I really
before
don't.
That you know. Tried to get a network to pick up the car, they wouldn't do it.
Wow, so Spike, CBS, nobody.
Nope.
Wow. Then what does that tell you? Maybe it tells you that it's a lousy card. So what should I do? I know. I'll make people pay for it.
Okay, but I will say, and again, because we talked about how Spikes dropped PBC, right? Look at some of those PBC cards that that were on Spike. They weren't the greatest either. So it, in comparison to some of the other cards we've seen this year or even last year, it's not a horrible card.
No.
It's not a,
no.
It's not a great card, but...
Would you pay for it?
Pay-per-view?
45 bucks. I'm reading in the chat, 45 bucks.
Oh, 45?
You know what?
Yeah. Hey.
Wow. Eric, you know what? I got news for you.
Okay, he's talking. Hang on. You would pay 5 bucks?
I'm a loser, though. Look at me. Look at the stuff. look at the cards I've bought in my career. look at some of the stuff. If I showed you my cable, I think you'd laugh at it.
No.
I bought Roy Jones versus Bobby Gunn, and I'm not going to buy this.
I almost bought that. I can't even lie. I almost bought it.
I'm a degenerate.
I wanted to buy that, but DirecTV didn't have it available. So you know,
right. So Robert, are you going to pay for this card? Are you going to pay for this card?
No. What I was going to say, Eric, had this particular card been this last weekend, I would have been all over it. I would have bought it. But no, it's on the same night as Sean Porter and Andre Berto. I'm going to watch that.
Oh, that's a bad. Oh, wow, that's a huge bad move for Bob Arum to do that. I forgot about that.
Right, against the freebie. What is the over under on what that come? What does that pull in? How many?
25,000.
25,000.
I would say like 75. I would say 75, man.
Yeah.
No, 75, you know, had it been this weekend, I would have bought it.
Nah, man, I ain't no way I'm buying that.
Manny just made a good point in the chat, saying someone on Facebook will have it, and they probably will.
Yeah, I'll stream it. I'll depends if it's the same time as the Porter fight. I'm not watching it.
Sorry.
Manny in the chat said 100 people. I'm saying that I'm taking the under now. I'm saying 75 people total, but he might be right, man. He might be right with 100 people because you got to think about them guys have their families. They're going to buy it if they're not at the fight. So all his cousins and stuff that stayed back, they might buy the fight. You know, Shakur Stevenson's got a good little base around him. So I say 75 to 100 people, man. I don't think it's going to be much more than that, though. I don't think it's gonna be much more than that. That's that. Me and Manny, we're on the same plane. We're on the same thought process here.
this is gonna do worse numbers than the Terrence Crawford Victor Postal pay per view.
Oh, for sure. Oh God. Yeah, you're going under 10,000 on this one. There's no way. It just doesn't even make over 10,000. Guaranteed. Shakur Stevenson. This is interesting. I've got it listed as a 6-round bout. So he skipped the 4-rounders and he's going straight to the 6-rounders. So to me, that's kind of interesting. But it doesn't say who he's going to fight yet. I don't have a list on who he's going to fight. So there you go. So with that, let's go to the phones here. 602, you are live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brandon from Phoenix. How you guys doing?
We're doing good,
hey,
man.
Brandon,
what's up?
Yeah.
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Real quick, before I get to the weekend's action, I got to chime in on the little discussion you guys had about Berto. You know what? I agree with Beeb, man. If you really look at the realistic opponent Porter could have got, Berto's really not that bad. I mean, I would have liked to have seen the Jesse Vargas fight. I mean, you know, a Tim Bradley fight would have been cool, but those fights, you know, they're not going to get made because of the division in boxing. And other than that, everybody else is kind of tied up. So I don't really have a problem with Berto. If Berto's a top 10 welterweight, he's 10, though. I will say that. So, you know. But and real quick, I don't know if you guys knew this, but AWE showed this weekend's fight with Burns and Ndongo, and it's on DirecTV now.
Yeah.
That's where I watched it. I watched it on that.
AWE is on DirecTV? What channel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's let me look at my thing right now real quick, Robbie. I want to say it's like 383, but I was surprised because I came home from work and I hit the DVR list, you know, just doing whatever. and boom, it was right there. Like, it was already recorded in my DVR list. It's 387 AWE in HD.
Oh, okay.
I watch it on Roku.
I watch it on Apple. Yeah, I watch it on Apple.
Yeah, I buy the channel. Mm-hmm. It's like $2 a month, and I buy it.
Really? See, I didn't know you could do that, and because I remember everybody was saying that they stopped taking subscriptions and this and that, so I never really looked too deep into it because, the shout out to Davey Boy Essex, but he was uploading a lot of the Sky stuff that I wanted to see. So it wasn't like that big of a deal, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to have to check into that. Thank you.
No problem, man. But it was right there. Mm. But anyway, let me get into this week's action. Once again, I kind of agree with Beep on what he was saying about Bibble. I'm a big listener of the Coalition, and those guys were hyping him up for a while. And I like him, but there's just not something quite all the way there. I think he's a little too stiff. I don't like how wide his feet are at certain times. He's only, what, like 9-10 fights in, right?
Yeah, 10-0 now.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that can be done. He's still young, but what do you guys think would happen if Bibble fought Barrera?
Oh, my. With his weaknesses, he'll get knocked out. He's not ready for somebody like that yet.
I think he'd get knocked
out. I tend to agree with you. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't saying anything. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, no, you know, I don't know if he would knock him out because watching Barrera, who I'm a big fan of, the other night, he was getting caught with some clean punches too. And if he got caught with those clean punches that he was getting hit with by Bibble, if it was Bibble throwing those punches, Barrera could have got himself knocked out too. So, I mean, I agree with you. Maybe I would probably favor Barrera. But, you know, I think that Bibble would have a shot against Barrera, the Nail Gosnick, or I don't know how you say that guy's name, but the Nail. Hold on, baby. I'm on the phone. But he would have a good shot against any one of those guys kind of like at that tier. But I think he could probably give Nathan Cleverly a good fight. And what's the guy that just beat what's his name? He just beat the guy up in Canada who's been Stevenson's mandatory forever and just keeps taking steps aside.
What is that guy's name?
I know. I just dropped that in my head.
Yeah, he's the one.
Yeah, he just... He just beat Boutte. Alvarez, LDR Alvarez, yeah. You know, those would be the type of people that I would want to see him in with, maybe in a fight or two, even though he does have that WBA interim, so I don't know what that exactly entitles him to in a title shot and everything like that. But, you know, any one of those guys, he's a good fight for any one of those guys at this point now, but he just has some deficiencies, but maybe with his youth and his strength, he can just kind of overcome those. You know, but that's the way I see that. And what do you guys think about Ndongo versus Crawford?
I love that fight. I love that fight. And I know, you know, obviously I think you have to favor Crawford in the fight. And as Joe mentioned, why, you know, because Crawford's a little bit, just a little bit better all around fighter, you know, on the eye test, he's a little bit all around, but man, I'll tell you what, I like that fight. I want to see it. I really want to see that fight.
Yeah, I like the fight too. I just think Crawford's just a little bit too strong, a little too hard of a puncher, and he's just an excellent counter puncher too. Again, these guys who are dangerous moving forward and moving backward, and they're quick and they can punch hard as well, those guys are the most dangerous types of fighters there are in boxing, if you want to know the truth. And this Ndongo kid, as much as I was impressed with him against Burns. I mean, he was fighting Ricky Burns, you know, so this Terrence Crawford's a whole different animal, in my opinion. And Ndongo just throws a lot of punches and he likes to come forward. He's very aggressive. You know, that's a great style matchup for a counterpuncher like Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, but you know what? He fought Troy Nofsky in his last fight, and Troy Nofsky was unbeaten. He was a killer, and people were comparing, you know, people were saying, hey, Troy Nofsky could be the one to give Terrence Crawford a lot of problems, and he put him away cold. He was
But he's cold, not Terrence Crawford, though. That's the thing.
Well, nobody's Terrence Crawford for sure. Yeah. I mean that's a tall order. Terrence Crawford, man, he's just so good. He's so good. But yeah, I want to see it for sure.
I'd like to be wrong. It would make for a better fight. I would like to see the fight be a real battle type of fight, a real back and forth war type of fight. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe Adonko's better than I think. I'd like to be wrong on that.
If you guys were putting it between Adonko and Postal, guys who are kind of similarly built, I think they're about the same height and reach, right?
Yeah,
I think
Postal's like five. They're both like 5'11"-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I picked Postal to beat Crawford. Boy, was I wrong there. I was really wrong there.
That's a rough one. You know, I thought it was gonna be a heck of a lot closer than what it was. You know, I didn't see Crawford just being able to shut him out like that. And you know, maybe if Ndongo has a little bit more want to than what Postal had, because once Crawford started moving on Postal wasn't really ready to take the risk to try to win the fight, sort of like a Gamboa was. But I don't know, man. I think that, you know, Crawford would probably outbox him, but I think Ndongo's a little bit rougher and tumble than Postal was, and maybe he's willing to get a little bit dirtier to win the fight. So it would be interesting. Yeah. It's the best fight at 140 right now. The only other person, I think Diaz is a great opponent for Crawford, and I think that Lipinets, I like him too. But other than that, there's really not too much else out there. But I'm interested to see it. I'd like to see Crawford unify and get all the belts and everything like that, and then maybe have a defense or two before maybe he steps up to 147. But that's pretty much all I got for you guys this week, man. I'll talk to you on the next one. All right, man?
Awesome, man. Thanks. Great call, man.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Call.
Awesome. All right. So yeah, man, but that brings up, I mean, like I said, man, that Crawford and Ndongo fight, that's a decent fight, man. You know, and maybe it looks a lot like Crawford Postal, I don't know. But it's definitely something we want to see for sure. Let me get back to the schedule here real quick. Yeah, Shakur Stevenson is going to fight Edgar Brito, 6 rounds, and of course they're featherweights. And also too, Francisco Santana, a friend of the show, is going to be on that card versus Mahanri Montes, 10 rounds welterweights. Now, here's the deal, man. I think, you know what I think is going to be, what would be cool is if Top Rank is going to show that pay-per-view, don't show just those 4 fights. Show the entire card. Why not?
Wow.
Why not? If you're going to put that kind of card on a pay-per-view, show the entire card from top to bottom. That I would watch. That I might watch. I'm not saying I would for sure watch it. But put the entire card on from top to bottom. Make sure I'm going to see Francisco Santana on that. You know, make sure I'm going to see
everything will start at the same time, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. But, you know, like I said, man, if that to me, if you're going to make it $44 for this type of card, then at least make it worth my while to watch it. You know, make it an all-day event. You know, make it an event. Don't make it just three fights with, you know. And they're not, I mean, they're not even like, I mean, they're not competitive, but they're not the best fights that could be made for those guys, put it that way. I hate that pay-per-view card. I just absolutely hate it.
Wow, you don't like it?
No, I don't like it at all. I don't like it.
If I bought it for you,
if you bought it for me, I would definitely watch it, but I may watch it on delay. I might not watch it live. All right, let's move ahead to our news and rumors here. The fall of the PBC. Spike TV cancels the PBC. Premier boxing champions of PBC will no longer appear on Spike TV. The network has decided to not renew the contract. David Schwartz, a spokesperson for Spike, told ESPN that Spike aired a PBC fight a few months back in January. We have a great relationship running dialogue with Alan, the PBC. Our focus is on Bellator right now, but if the right fight arises, we're all ears. The PBC seems to be either in denial or just mum on the situation. Tim Smith, PBC spokesman, stated to ESPN, "We're in discussions with Spike about the future, but nothing is firm yet. Given the fact that Spike canceled the show, I would say things are pretty firm. The discussions are over." What do you make of that? That has to be like the oddest comment, that we're in discussions with Spike about the future, nothing is firm. Spike came out and canceled it. They canceled it. They did not renew the contract. That's a cancellation. You are not being renewed. You're fired.
And I believe ESPN's about ready to do the same thing. So
that's what we keep hearing.
But
you know there's a lot of
rumors. You know what this reminds me of? You know when HBO used to, you know, sign guys to multi-fight contracts, and then they started just, you know, not signing the fighter, but they just got in the business of buying fights.
Yeah.
Instead of just having a fighter under contract. I just think this is a smart business move. And again, it doesn't mean that you won't see PBC fights on Spike. It just means that this puts the pressure on PBC now to put on better fights if they're going to put them on Spike. So it's kind of a good thing. I think Spike wins, and I think the fans win. And, you know, if it's the right fight, PBC can win as well. So it's not such a bad thing.
No,
that's what it sounded like. They're going to leave the door open.
Yeah. Also, look at it this way. With ESPN, they're now getting fights from Golden Boy. That card on Thursday is a Golden Boy card. So, you know, if Oscar's going to give them fights, you know, as far as ESPN is concerned, why should they deal with the PBC?
Well,
why not?
Once again, I just think that it's all going to depend on how good the fights are. You know, these networks don't want to get locked in and then be committed to show fights if they're not good. Just simple and plain, which makes sense for them. And I, you know, this is what I said before too. When people were talking about the PBC, how, you know, is it going to fail? Is it going to go bankrupt? Is it going to cease to exist? I just kept saying this. I said, you know, in my own humble opinion, I think it will continue to go on. I just don't think that it'll be shown on as many networks. I said that I think some of the networks will probably drop off, but, you know, I still think that NBC, CBS, I think they'll still show the right fight. And as long as you have CBS, NBC, I mean, that's still a feather in your cap, because that gives you the opportunity to put on a fight in front of the largest audience possible. So that's still a win for PBC, in my opinion. Who else is able to do that?
Well,
Bob Arum's not.
Yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya's not. So, I mean, if I was a young fighter coming up, or if I'm an Errol, like Errol Spence, he was on NBC. What's better than that? You know what I mean? People flipping through the channels on a Saturday afternoon, right? Boom. Here comes Errol Spence. I'd love that if I was a fighter.
Yeah, I think so. And I tell you what, I think that, like, I think Spike has a good move here because they haven't ruled out showing fights on there. And he says if the right fight arises, then that's what we'll do. You know, and this kind of puts it, like you said, puts it in their corner to buy the fights, you know, to buy the fights that people are interested in, and instead of putting on stuff that nobody really wants to watch, you know what I mean? That are mismatches or anything like that, you know, the PBC specials, you know.
It's not like they're buying a brand, they're buying a fight. You know, it's not about the brand per se, it's about the fight. And that's what's good. They're making it about the event, the fight itself, not about PBC, the brand. And that's how I always looked at it. For some reason, other people didn't look at it like that. You know, and people who are really diehard fans of the sport, a good fight is a good fight. It doesn't matter who puts it on. I think someone in the chat said that as well, that, you know, it doesn't matter who puts it on. As long as the fight's good, the fight is good. So.
Right. Somebody in the chat said, so Errol Spence has a huge following now. No, we're not saying that at all. We're just saying, he just said that, you know, if they're flipping through the channels and you catch them on, you know, NBC. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. You know,
he had the opportunity to be showcased
right
in front of the largest audience possible on that day. Now, will it parlay into a big following? Well, if he beats, Kell Brook, we'll see what happens. That's the first step. I mean, he's got to win a world title first, you know, before he could be like marketed to mainstream. And I think, you know, I'm not saying that it's a given that it's a lock that he's going to be a mainstream fighter, but I think he definitely has a shot.
Yeah, I agree. So good move for Spike. So this doesn't really signal the demise of the PBC, is what you're saying, Joe.
I think it's a demise, but I think that this is just going to put them on notice that, hey, we got to step our game up. And yeah. And again, haven't they stepped their game up this year?
I think so. I mean, a lot of their fighters having big fights. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then Thurman and Garcia, yeah, I think they have. I think, for sure. Triple G will now focus on Canelo instead of Billy Joe Saunders. The original plan called for Gennady Golovkin to face Billy Joe Saunders in June. Well, apparently that plan has been scrapped. Chris Mannix of Yahoo Sports is reporting that multiple sources have told him Triple G will be turning his attention to a September showdown with Canelo Alvarez. Tom Loeffler has declined to comment on the situation, but Abel Sanchez told Yahoo Sports that Triple G was sore. He had a 12-round fight. I didn't see it the first day in the dressing room. Usually second or third day you start to feel it. I didn't check in with him right after a long training camp. I'm the last person he would want to see. He's not a complainer. He's just natural soreness. It was a difficult fight. I guess he's referring to the fact that they're not going to fight Billy Joe Saunders in June. So they are going to scrap that and then wait for the Canelo fight. And you two have an interesting, listen, man, I think the Canelo fight is going to happen in September. I think Canelo is going to fight Chavez Jr. I mean, where else is the money? I mean, there's no bigger money than that. I think that fight comes off. I think it comes off in September. However, you two don't see it that way. Robert, how do you see this going down?
No, you know, Eric, I was in your camp for quite some time, but the more I got to thinking about this, and the more Joe kept presenting his argument, this announcement here, it's all starting to fall into the way that Joe has presented it. And Joe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your hypothesis is that Canelo beats Chavez, and then he fights Billy Joe Saunders in September, and then the winner fights Golovkin next May. Is that the way you see it? Because it's starting to look that way to me.
I just think Golden Boy is playing Golovkin's team like a flute, man. I'm sorry to say it, but I think that Billy Joe Saunders and Canelo is going to be the next fight. And it's so funny how, you know, Golden Boy came out and said, well, if he fights Billy Joe Saunders, then the Canelo fight is dead. We're not even going to be open to talk to you if you take that Billy Joe Saunders fight. And they fell in line. So it just makes them look weak, in my opinion, that Golden Boy was able to tell them what their next move was going to be.
So do you think it's a case of them telling him what the next move is going to be, or do you think he was legitimately injured? Can't take that
I don't
fight.
I don't think he was legitimately injured at all. I'm not saying he was fresh as a daisy.
Sure.
But you would have known. You would have known. I mean, again, is there any medical records that he sustained a significant injury? Did he tear something? Did he pull something? Did he break something?
No.
Nothing. None of that's come up. So I went to the gym yesterday. I'm sore today. I got up and went to work this morning. Could I say, hey, I'm sore from the gym? I can't. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but if I broke my leg, obviously I wouldn't go to work. If I blew my ACL out, I wouldn't go to work. So what is injured? We're all injured. I mean, how many of us got out of the shower and stubbed our toe? That's an injury. But does that debilitate us that we can't go on? So, yeah, I mean, he's been a boxer all his life. There's normal wear and tear in the gym after sparring sessions and training. There's normal wear and tear after a fight. Now, is this normal wear and tear? Or is this significant damage? I think this is normal wear and tear. Because if it was significant damage, there'd be a medical report out there saying, oh, he broke a hand. He tore a cartilage in his elbow or something. He sprained his knee. Something would have happened. You know what I mean? He broke his nose, had a cut inside his lip that required 7 stitches. No, there was none of that. So this is just Golden Boy telling them, hey, you take that Billy Joe Saunders fight, we're not even going to even sit down and talk with you. There's no negotiations. So they fell in line. But Golden Boy has been leading them on all along. So would it be a surprise if they're going to continue to lead them on and say, hey, okay, we'll sit down and negotiate a September fight with you. And then they end up fighting Saunders instead. Why not? This guy Canelo can make money fighting anyone. This, as I said, this Chavez fight is going to be bigger than a Canelo Golovkin fight, in my opinion. Mark my words when I tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know about that so much, but I will tell you this. Here's where I come out on it. I think the fight happens in September. I think they'll negotiate with him, and I think the fight comes off in September. And I'll tell you why. It's real simple. Canelo versus Saunders does not bring anything else to that fight. If he were to go and bring a belt, Canelo is above. He doesn't need the belts to sell pay-per-views. He doesn't need the belts. So him fighting Saunders, really, it doesn't really make a lot of sense other than he'll get a belt, a middleweight belt, that's it. But he'll get 3 if he fights Golovkin. You know what I mean? It doesn't make a lot of sense for him to go and pursue Billy Joe Saunders after this.
I heard Triple G on an ESPN interview, and this interview revealed a lot. Because, you know, he sat there and said for so long how he doesn't care about Canelo. He doesn't care about Canelo. How he just wants to unify the titles. But in that interview, he flipped the script a little bit. He switched up. He said, oh, I really want that fight. And he even said, I really need that fight. So why do you really need that fight? He wants that payday. Someone must have gotten his ear and just told him, hey, you know what? The clock is ticking. You know, how many fights do you really think you have left? You know what I'm saying? So you better take this fight now. Someone got in his ear. And again, it's not a bad thing wanting the biggest money fight for yourself. But it just, they just said so many different things. They've had so many different stories. They tried to market this guy as being, you know, the people's champion. It's not about the money. It's about the honor. It's about pleasing the fans, this and that. But you know what? It's always going to be about the money. And you don't have to come out and say that. But by you saying so many different other things, it just damages the credibility of that team. And then you have, you know, Tom Loeffler is not saying a word, but for some reason, they got Abel Sanchez out there, yap, 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 and he's really hurting the situation even more so. So they need to put the gag order on him because it's just making them look bad. It's making them look desperate right now for this fight.
But don't you think, though, from a Canelo standpoint, you have a big money fight with Chavez, a big money fight with Canelo. Why would you not take that? Why would you go to Saunders, who's not as big of money? And Canelo can make money with anybody, that's true. But why would you go after Saunders when, again, you made big money with Chavez Jr., you're going to make big money with Triple G. Why would you go after Saunders and take a lower paycheck when you can have 2 big ones right in a row?
How much lower is a fight with Saunders going to be than Triple G? How much?
It's going to be a ton lower.
How much pay-per-views does this Triple G Canelo fight really do? And I say this with all due respect to Canelo, but Golovkin, but Golovkin just does not bring that much to the table. He's shown that.
But I think this fight brings a lot to the table. Terrence Crawford doesn't bring a lot to the table pay-per-view-wise either. But if he goes up and he finds the right guy, I mean, people want to see that fight.
Do you think now the Billy Joe Saunders fight, in my opinion, is a much easier fight for Canelo than Golovkin?
Sure, sure.
It's a much easier fight.
Much easier.
But in my opinion, it's going to be the amount of money Canelo is going to make versus Billy Joe Saunders versus Triple G. It's going to be very comparable. He probably would make a little bit more with Golovkin. But how much more for a greater risk? You know what I'm saying? Is it going to be that much more?
Yeah.
So you're going to be fighting a much better fighter for more money, but a little bit more. Not a lot more.
I think it's going to be a lot more. I think it's
Let me throw another fly in the ointment here. What if the and I don't think this is going to happen, but what if the Chavez Canelo fight turns out to be, you know, one of those back and forth fights, and it's a close decision, and they decide to have a rematch in September? What happens then?
Well, then I think Canelo goes after. I think Saunders and Triple G go at it. I think that fight gets renewed, and then they go at it for the because if.
But then Triple G said they're gonna if they don't get the Canelo fight, they're gonna go up to super middleweight though. They threw that out there.
Nah, that's not gonna happen. He's. I tell you what, man. He's not big enough to go up to super middleweight. He's gonna get beat at super middleweight. He's not. He's not big enough. He's just not. He's a.
But Tom Loeffler, that came out of Tom Loeffler's mouth.
Yeah, I think that's gamesmanship. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I just don't see that happening.
Well, September, mark it on your calendars. Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders, or Canelo Alvarez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., number two.
Or. Mayweather McGregor in September, September 16th.
Oh, that you can't forget about that
if
too.
If that fight goes down, and let me tell you what, if that fight goes down, yeah, mark September off because those guys aren't fighting.
What they're doing, and tell me if I'm wrong here. This is going to be the last thing I'm going to say on the topic because I don't want to keep repeating myself. But what it looks like is they're putting their hands. They're putting their career in Golden Boy's hands, basically. They're allowing Golden Boy to dictate to them what their next move is going to be. They're letting Golden Boy pull the strings for them.
Well, I think they're negotiating in good faith. I think that's what they're doing. I know I wouldn't necessarily say they're pulling the strings. I think they're negotiating in good faith. And the other thing too, man, is that maybe, you know, hey, that wasn't a cupcake he faced. Golovkin, I'm talking about with Jacobs. That wasn't exactly a cupcake fight there. And maybe he did get a little banged up in that. Maybe he was a little banged up. Maybe he wouldn't have been ready for June. You know, I mean, June's, you know, not that far away, you know?
And another thing to consider here, guys, before we get off of Triple G, Danny Jacobs is still out there. I mean, they could have a rematch eventually, too. So that's another thing to consider.
That's what Sanchez said. They said he was 3 to 4 fights away from a rematch with Jacobs, which I don't really get at all. But
I believe Tom Loeffler. I don't believe Abel Sanchez all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. This was interesting, man. Dominic Brazil, as you know, he was in that dust-up with Deontay Wilder at the hotel, has decided to take matters into his own hands and sue Deontay Wilder. Dominic Brazil is now going to sue Deontay Wilder. The sums and everything have not been revealed or anything like that. But, yeah, he's actually brought a lawsuit against Deontay Wilder for their hotel incident that happened. Apparently he got beat up by Deontay Wilder and his crew. Deontay was shouting obscenities at him, blah, blah, blah. What do you guys think of this? I mean, do you think that you think you should sue him, or do you think they should try to settle this in the ring, or better yet, do you think it goes that route? Do you think he's suing him, and do you think they say, all right, let's settle it here?
Let's just settle the whole thing in the ring. That's where it belongs anyway.
I'm going to be honest. If all those things were accurate and all that stuff was done in front of the children and the wife,
awful.
I would sue.
Yeah, I think I would too. I think honestly I would too.
And I would have to fight too.
Yeah, I mean, because even if you do get to fight, you know, because what they'll try to do is, well, you know, if we give you this fight, we want you to drop this lawsuit. You know, I would completely sue him because that, I mean, that was awful. And if they did that in front of the kids, those kids are going to be scarred for quite a long time, man.
That's correct.
That's not something. That's not cool. That's not.
And again, you know, Wilder, as much as he. You know, I like Wilder, and he comes off as a real nice guy. I mean, he did get in a fight with Charlie Z. I know Charlie Z said horrible things, but you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You're a professional boxer. If you're gonna sit there and fight every troll that you know disrespects you, then that, I mean, come on, man. Right. You don't see, like, look at all the heat Andre Ward gets on social media. You don't see him, you know, meeting people at gyms and fighting them.
Get a thicker skin.
Yeah, so right then and there, that itself shows me that Deontay Wilder, you know, can be triggered somewhere.
Right.
He needs to check that.
Yeah, I mean, and that Charlie Z guy, I mean, he's the one that fought Mayweather Sr., and he's always trolling guys and everything like that, and whatever. But, I mean, he can do whatever he wants, but, you know, he baits you that easy, you know? I mean, really, where he had to fly to his gym and, you know, I mean, come on, man, really?
I mean, he could have killed that kid. He could have killed that kid.
Very easily. Know? Very
and then,
easily.
And then what would have happened?
The
he could have broke his hand. He could have hit him the wrong way and hit him on the top of the head and broke his hand. Then what would happen? You know what I'm saying?
Benji in the chat said that body shot, though, because apparently I don't know if you saw the video, but Charlie Z claims that he got a body shot on Wilder, and it might have been as he was going down or something.
Did,
but it wasn't like a good body shot. Yeah.
But he made contact, though, man. He punches in the body. He goes, "Oh, you got to the body still."
Yeah, right. That was his whole deal. He got him a body shot. He was hammered, you know.
Imagine being able to still land that shot on Deontay Wilder. You know what I mean?
He's a big guy. He's hard to land body shots on. So, hey, I take my hats off to Charlie Z, man. That's for sure. Yeah, because, hey, I imagine, you know, as big as Wilder is, he's got to be, for an average guy, you know, I imagine he's probably hard to hit in the body. I mean, for, you know, he was on the floor.
Charlie Z lasted. He didn't get counted out in that fight either, baby.
That's right. Hey, you went the distance with the Wilder. Only one other person's done that. So there you go.
He ran out of the ring. Hey. Out of the ring too.
Hey, Charlie Z is our hero, all right?
Get Charlie Z on the show.
That's right. Charlie Z. All right. So this week, Ward versus Kovalev kicked off a press tour, a three-city press tour. It was in Oakland, Vegas, and New York, maybe. I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
But Ward, you know, Kovalev promised to end Ward's career. A lot of strong feelings. Let me tell you something, man. Sergey Kovalev doesn't look like he's messing around. He looks legitimately irritated. And I think that's a problem with Ward. I think that's a problem. I don't know if Ward's getting, like, Ward is clearly getting under his skin. But they were facing off, and then Kovalev said a couple words to him and then walked off. And somebody doing the video, and I could hear it in the crowd, said he looks nervous, talking about Kovalev. And I never really thought about it. I don't think he's nervous. I just think that Ward is under his skin, man. And I don't know how good that is going into the rematch.
In defense of Sergey Kovalev, I mean, he's in hostile territory each and every press conference. You know, the crowd's for Ward. So that's going to kind of rattle you a little bit, but the thing that kind of, like, made me say to myself, you know, what's Kovalev doing? Like, he walks away from Ward instead of saying it, like, when they were face to face, "I'm going to end your career."
Yeah.
Like, he walks away and mumbles it under his breath. That reminds me, like, when I was a little kid and I, you know, my father yelled at me or something. Okay, fuck you, Dad. And then my breath halfway across the kitchen or something. Like, I mean, if I really wanted my father to hear me, I would have went up to his face and said it to his face.
Right.
He didn't even want him to hear it. Like, he mumbled it under his breath, walking away. And then Ward's just standing there looking at him like, you know?
He did. He was walking away when he said it, too. You're right. I never picked that up. But, yeah, you're right. I remember that. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, man. Not much really happened at the press conference. Just a lot of, you know, just the normal back and forth and stuff like that, but nothing too major, nothing too out of hand. I did hear that that all three judges, they wanted the three judges from neutral countries, and that apparently got shot down. So, yeah, I don't know.
But this is the thing. In order for that to happen, right, both teams would have to go to the commission and request it. The commission's not going to allow that to happen. Only one team goes.
Yeah.
So the commission chooses the judges. So let me ask, this is the thing. Again, I'm not against neutral judges. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not against Kovalev's team asking for it. But to expect the other team to help you out in the negotiation.
Right.
Why is the other team going to help negotiate, you know, your case for
you? Right.
You know, try to strengthen your case.
Right. Yeah, you know, nobody's doing that.
They're not obligated to do that. And Kathy Dubin's sitting there saying, oh, well, Ward didn't want it. No, I mean, obviously, it's not probably Ward doesn't want it, but why would Ward try to help you out?
Right.
It's not his job to help you out. But that's the stupidest thing in the world. Why should he help you out? It's the commission's decision. And not only that, you know, that's how the Las Vegas, the Nevada State Athletic Commission works. They've always operated that way. They've always done things their own way. I mean, this is the capital of the boxing world is Las Vegas. The biggest fights in history have been in Las Vegas, Nevada. So do you think they're going to sit there and be dictated to how they run the show? There's only one person that was able to, you know, dictate things to them, and that was Floyd Mayweather, because he brought money to the, you know, to the state of Nevada.
These two aren't bringing anything.
Floyd's not bringing money to the state of Nevada. They're not going to, you know, cowtail to him.
No. Yeah, they're not drawing flies over there, man. You saw their pay-per-view numbers from the last fight. What was it? It was under 200. It was right around 250, maybe. Was that right, 250?
And then on top of that, do you think Nevada, you don't think Nevada's insulted with the inclination of main events in Kovalev that the judges weren't on the up and up? So you think you're going to insult their judges? You know, you're gonna put a black eye on their commission, and then they're going to just sit there and give you what you want after you basically say that their judges are crooked?
They can't be fair. Yeah, they can't be fair.
Yeah, why would they, you know, you're implying that their judges basically were on the take.
Yep.
So they're going to go out of their way to get you special judges after that.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, what do they think? Like, what's going on in their minds? Like, I don't understand. I just don't. What's the plot? I don't understand.
Could be over their head, man. Could be over their head.
You know?
Who knows? Listen, man, I got some real exciting news. Real exciting. Robert Easter returns to Toledo to face Denis Shafikov. That's right. Robert Easter is returning to his hometown. We call Ohio Title Town. He's going home to Toledo, Ohio. Easter sold out his hometown arena in his last fight against Louis Cruz. Easter battered Cruz for 12 full rounds. Robert Easter will now look to keep his perfect record intact against the very game Denis Shafikov. Let me tell you what, and this is for, I believe it's June 30th or something like, this is not a gimme fight, man. This is a really good fight. Shafikov can fight. This is a really good fight. I'm looking forward to maybe going back to Toledo. This is interesting, man, because he sold out that arena last time, man, and a big fight hadn't been to Toledo in quite a while. He sold out that arena. I mean, at least 8,000 to 10,000 people there for sure. So he'll probably do it again. Denis Shafikov is a good, good fighter, man. So we'll see how it goes. Robert, what are your thoughts on Robert Easter returning to Title Town?
I like the fight, and I think Shafikov will be competitive. Good fight. We'll see what happens when June 30th arrives.
Clearly, Eric has been carrying Easter's water for some time. Upset alert.
There he goes. Yep. He needs to be in the corner and give him advice.
That's right. I tell you what, man. Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, man. Shafikov is definitely, this is not a pushover fight. This isn't Louis Cruz, man. This is going to be a good fight. So Robert Easter better be training hard, man. But, he's not going to lose in his hometown. Come on, guys. You don't lose in Title Town. Not a chance.
I didn't say all the way. Lose. I said it was going to be a good fight.
See, even Robbie's on it. Even Robert's on it. Easter,
I think it's
going to
be one
nowhere.
Of those fights where each round is going to be hard fought. But I think, you know, when the points are all added up, Robert is just going to have a comfortable victory.
Yeah.
Shafikov is a hard worker and stuff, but I mean, I don't think he's on Easter's level in terms of boxing ability.
No, I don't think so either. No way. All right, Beeb, it's time.
Brianna, it's time for the
bring her in.
Let's go. You're gonna miss it. I don't want you to get upset this time. Get in. Do the chugger. You can do it. Hit it. Grab the mic. Do it.
It's the train wreck.
Do it.
Chugga, 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 chugga. Choo choo.
There you go. The train wreck of the week. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Adrian Broner calls Floyd Mayweather the B word. Adrian Broner just reignited his beef with Floyd Money Mayweather, calling the money man the B word. It's all over. It's all over his relationship with rising boxing superstar Gervonta Davis. Apparently, this broke out like this, man. Apparently, Gervonta Davis called out Adrian Broner. Why he called him out, I don't know. Broner apparently took the challenge as an insult, sign of disrespect, claiming that he and Davis are pals and that alleging that Floyd tricked the kid into making the challenge. You can watch the video. We got the video posted on ringsidereporter.com. You can go watch the video, and he calls Floyd the B word, and just that basically it's a minute long, and it's just a profanity-based tirade throughout, so enjoy yourself. Incidentally, Floyd Mayweather put up his own video with him and Broner basically making up. The two are both, called him out for it, and they both make up so they're BFFs again, so we can all sleep well tonight. Robert, what do you think about that? What do you think about Adrian Broner and our train wreck of the week? It is called the Adrian Broner train wreck of the week.
Because he won the award more than anybody else in history. This reminds me of two females going at it all the time. You know,
we should get like a wrecked train, just a smashed in train, like gold, and give it to Adrian Broner as our train wreck of the week.
Yeah.
Forever, you know. What would we do without Adrian Broner week after week screwing up? I don't know. I don't know.
It's awful.
That's right. Trey Lippy Morrison, Robert's favorite, is forced to withdraw from his June 9th fight with a broken hand.
And you know that, June 9th is the next Showbox card. So once again, he blows his chance of being on TV.
Rob is always railing against that guy. But you're right, though, man. You're right. That's the second Showbox that he's missed. And that's a big deal. And they're coming to Miami, Oklahoma. And I didn't even know there was such a place as Miami, Oklahoma, but apparently there is. If you're going to go to Miami, man, I tell you what, that's not the Miami I want to go to.
Miami, Oklahoma.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Spent a week there one night. That's a great point, Robert. This is the second Showbox that he's pulled out of. And again, it's in Miami, Oklahoma. What else is there? I mean, are they going to keep coming back? I mean, you know, it's like, dude, come on.
Showtime's going to get sick of this act and say, and the next time he wants to be on, they're going to say, forget it, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's tough, man. But he broke his hand, so there's not much you can do about it, I guess. And Beeb?
Yes, sir.
It's been made. It is official. I can't believe I'm about to say this. And this really should have headlined, honestly, this really should have headlined the news and rumors section. Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn is official for July 1st.
Are you serious?
Right?
It's done?
Fight of the year.
Really?
Fight of the year. What's bigger? Let me ask you this.
Wow.
Is Canelo versus Triple G bigger than this fight?
Yes.
It's close.
Is Mayweather versus McGregor bigger than this fight? I don't think so.
Yes.
It's a tie.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, man. I think for pay-per-view dollars, do you think this goes into the 4 or 5
no.
million category?
No.
I don't know.
This is going to No offense to anybody listening, but this is in fucking Australia. I mean, my God, this no, there ain't no. This is disgusting.
Until Robbie plays his little part of seriousness throughout the madness.
What do you think of Bob Arum putting this on?
He's a fucking mental case, is what he is. That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Dad.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's gonna be in Australia, and we in the States are gonna have to pay for this crap. Give me a break.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, nobody's. I mean, let me ask you this in all seriousness: who gets more buys, Manny Pacquiao, Jeff Horn, or the top ranked card this weekend?
Manny Pacquiao, Jeff Horn, just because everybody knows who Manny Pacquiao is. Nobody, unless you're boxing idiots like us, know who these people are that's fighting this weekend.
How much is that pay-per-view going to be now? I hope that's not going to be a $70 pay-per-view.
$70? It's going to be $70.
$10. Yeah, it's going to be $70, $75 with Pacquiao's contract.
Yeah, you know,
are you serious?
HBO will air it. Benji, HBO is going to air it. It's going to be on pay-per-view, trust me.
It'll be on pay-per-view.
It's on pay-per-view, trust me.
If HBO airs it, they're going to get aired out.
Let me tell you what. If HBO airs it, I still might not watch it. All right, so let's talk a little bit about next week, man. Let's talk a little bit about next week. Now, let me ask you, Beeb. I'll ask you straight out. The Joshua fight will preview next week. Will there be? Because I've been getting asked, a lot of people have been asking me, is he going to do a Beating the Odds with Beeb segment on Joshua versus Klitschko?
I'll do it, yeah.
Are you going to give the people what they want?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You heard it here first. Beeb is going to give the people what they want next week when we do a Beating the Odds of Beeb versus Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko.
We're going to really dip into the piggy bank for this one, man.
There you go.
We're putting all Beeb industry stock on it. Oh, I can't even say it right now.
You can't even say it. I know you were taking Klitschko. Take Klitschko.
But this is going to be the mother of all bets.
The mother of all bets. The mother of all bets.
You may see me in a peach basket with a tin cup after this one if we don't win.
And then also, too, just to let you guys know, April 29th on HBO, it will air at 10:45 p.m. That's Joshua versus Klitschko. So our speculation is, we don't have it confirmed just yet, but our speculation is that the fight will be on live probably about 6 o'clock on Showtime live. So that's speculation. So HBO will probably pick it up on the day.
Or maybe even earlier than that. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it'll probably be, you know how the UK cards are. They'll say it's at 5 and then it's not till like 6:45 or something like that. Eddie Hearn never has cards going off time, which I don't understand. No. But,
I mean, he's the best fighter in boxing. I mean,
he can't even get his cards right, son. He can't even get his cards right, son. Can't even get them right. Can't even get them off on time. What a professional.
That's why he doesn't want to come on the show.
90,000 people will be there, brother. 90,000 people.
I trash him.
I called him up. I tried to get him on. He didn't want to come on because you trash him so much.
I try. Hey, you know what? Hey, I tell it like it is. Eddie Hearn.
Yeah.
Tell it like it is. He's a wank. Tells you he's a wank. This might be him calling now. It's a restricted number. Could be Eddie Hearn.
Nope.
I don't know. Okay. You're live.
Doing
live on Ringside Reporter.
Hello there. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Okay,
yes. Am I on the air?
Hello,
yes.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to say you totally don't sound Hispanic and nigger, nigger, nigger.
What's that?
Oh, my God.
I didn't hear it.
That was a troll call, Eric. You don't want to understand it.
Uh-oh. We're getting troll calls. Hey, we must be getting pretty big to get troll calls. So there you go. How about that? Beeb, that's our first troll call. How about that?
video.
That's right. That's right. But if you're going to troll us, at least talk clearly. Talk clearly so we can understand you. Don't mumble and
believe me. You don't want to understand what she said.
You must be really bored in your life that you have to prank a radio show.
Right.
let me dedicate 3 minutes of my life to pranking a
Because you had to be on hold. I mean, you had to be on hold. You know.
Yeah, you exactly. had to be on hold.
I marked that down on my calendar.
How bad is that? But how bad is that though? Like seriously, like you call in, and they can't even understand. You probably got this great line. You're like, I'm gonna own him, and you got this line, and nobody understands what you're saying. Nobody.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Got a weak prank game on them, huh?
I know, right? I know.
Step up your game if you're going to do it right.
Well, she was trying. I mean, let's give her some credit for trying. Yeah. Give her some credit for that.
She's probably Amanda Serrano's opponent.
You can't say that,
Robbie.
Come on. Somebody at Benji in the chat says Packhorn was a prank, too. He said, I wish Packhorn was a prank, too.
We
all expect Jeff Horn was a prank, man.
I wish it was, but it's signed, sealed, and delivered for July 1st.
There you go. Pay-per-view on July 1st. All right. So
what a way to celebrate Independence Day, right?
There you go. In Australia. There it is. Yeah. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call him at Ringside Robbie's Corner. Maybe prank him on Ringside Robbie's Corner, 773-572-7781, and leave him a message. You can catch Joe Habib on Twitter.
No, that's the wrong number, Eric.
Oh, well, give it to me. I thought I had it.
917-259-1810.
You heard it from the man himself. There you go. All right. I am now updating that number. All right. You can catch Joe Habib at Twitter.
Well,
I thought I already did too. All right. Just relax. You can catch Jay Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find his YouTube channel at www.beatingtheoddswithbeeb.com. Beeb, you haven't changed anything there, right? That's all accurate information.
No, I keep it simple.
I'm at Ringside 73. I keep it simple too. And we'll see you next week.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Later.